One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away, for he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I want to ask you a question. What is your love toward God? Do you believe that God is today? Now, Hebrews said, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do we really believe that? Has he changed any? If he's changed a little, he could change a lot. I want to give you some things that I jotted down today. God is. God is. I'm thankful, first of all, that he is. Not that he was, or he shall be. I need a God is right now. How can a person go 24 hours and not be in touch with heaven? Oh, listen, today's the day of salvation. If that's right, and it is, then today's the day for me to live my salvation and share it with somebody else. And so God is. That's the first thing I want to say about God. He's alive right now. Present tense, God is. Jesus said, I am. Moses went out into Pharaoh's court and said, I am sent me. And from that day, Pharaoh's hands were tied. His army couldn't do one thing. Who was it? I heard a newscast, and hardly ever hear, but I heard the newscast. I think it was Paul Harvey, who says some pretty good things, you know. He told a story about the little boy that went to Sunday school and came home. And you know, I think Paul Harvey was really digging at a lot of this modernism we got, and I think he sees some of it, see. And I think Paul Harvey's got a little bit more than just some of the news on his mind. Yeah. And so this little boy came home, and the mother said, Johnny, how was Sunday school? Said, just fine, just fine. Said, what was the lesson? And the little boy said, well, it's about Moses and children of Israel. Said, they're getting out of Egypt. And he said, they come to the Red Sea. And they, do you know how they got across, mother? Said, no. Said, how? Well, said, they built pontoons and floated them across. And then said, when they got to the other side, they looked over and saw Pharaoh come in. And he started to cross with the horses and said, Moses radioed the sky patrol and said, drop bombs and tap the pontoons, and said they did. And said, of course, killed all Pharaoh and his bunch. Mother said, Johnny, really now, I don't believe the teacher taught you that. Tell me the truth. Well, said, no, really, mother. But said, I knew if I told you what she did teach me, you wouldn't believe it. Brother, some of the junk our teachers are teaching, I wouldn't want anybody to believe. That teacher that stood and said to her little class of children, now, honeys, you know that feeding of the multitude, 5, 10, 15, or 25, you know that wasn't real bread and fish, don't you? The little boy said, no, ma'am, I didn't know it. Oh, well, said, that's figurative. That's figurative. And directly the little boy raised his hand and said, teacher, I want to know what it was that they put in those 12 baskets they had left over. Give me the mind of a little child to believe. Oh, let me be simple enough to believe what the Word of God says, because I've noticed that men that live and die by the Word of God outlive everything and die better than everybody else. So just let me cling to Him and to His Word. And when you find out something better, you let me know. Till you do, I'll stay with what God's been so precious to give me. I'm glad that God is. Second, what is God? God is able. Unto him that is able to do, he's able to keep you from falling. That's a great verse. He's able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that. Oh, hear me tonight. God's people are the only people on earth that have any right to shout or to sing. But dear friends, you and I have the only song that's worth singing. And we have the only heart that can sing if we're born again. Oh, I wish this old world could know what we know. And the only way they're going to know it is to hear it from us and see it in us. So God is able. Do you really believe that? Is God able to meet your need? Is God able to save your husband? Is God able to save an old drunkard? Is God able to save a narcotic addict? Is God able to save our precious little old delinquent girls and boys and the convicts and make converts out of them? Is God? Why, of course he's able. Why, listen, we live on the ability of God. We talk about responsibility. It's just our response with his ability. That's all it is. I mean, how could I respond if I wasn't able? And I don't have any able. Bible said, not that we're sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down of imagination every high thought would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Think about that. Oh, hear me tonight. He's able. God is able. God is, but God's not only is, he's able. Number three, God's willing. I live on that. I really do. I don't have to argue with God. If I need help, I don't say, if it be thy will, help me. I just say, Lord, since it is thy will, send me some help. I mean, I'm in trouble, Lord. Come on and help me. I'm your little old child down here, and I got to have some help, and I need it right away. I mean, I don't get pious and whine and say, now, Lord, if you're able, and if you can, and if you will, well, I'm wasting his time and mine too. And I'm not getting any help praying like that. Let me tell you something, bud. My Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if you don't intend to pray with faith, don't come pray for me. Oh, listen, Jesus found that bunch that laughed at him. You remember when he went to talk to that little girl? See about that little girl? She's dead when he got there. Said, they came and said, oh, you're too late. I can see a bunch of religious leaders. They're kind of glad, I imagine, he's too late. You didn't get here on time. You're too late. Jesus said, you know, he didn't say it, but he could have said it if he told, I never am too late. I never got anywhere too late. I've never been anything but on time. Fact is, I was before time anyhow. Amen. I run ahead of time. And when time's already run out, I'll run on. Yes, amen. I wish people knew how big our God was. Bunch of stupid Tom Thumb church members peddling around, digging in the trinkets and gadgets. Why, brother, listen, we ought not to stoop to live like most others live. Ought to live big for God. Oh, how great God is. We sang the song, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. But we don't want him to do it for us. And we sing, how great thou art. And yet we live like he's not great like that. Ah, hear me, dear friends. Why, you know what he did? He walked in that room and he looked around and they laughed. And so I said, he looked at her and he said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping away. Boy, I can hear those great big old infidel laughs, you know. Oh, they laughed. The Bible said they laughed him to scorn. Jesus looked at him. I believe he centered his eyes on him. I believe those eyes full of indignation said, outside, outside. You just laughed yourself outside. You just missed an opportunity to see a little girl brought back to life. You missed with your laughing, your ungodly, unbelieving laughing. You missed a miracle when you laughed. Now step outside and close the door. And dear friends, I still, as I've said before, I don't want to pray for sick people with unbelievers in the room. And if I go in a room to pray for a sick person, I have the privilege and I'll exercise the privilege of asking everybody in that room, do you believe that God is able and willing to heal this person from sickness? And if they begin to chew around in doubt, I'd say, you just step outside. I believe that God's people, he said, if two of you agree as touching one thing or anything, just ask. Believe, he said, that you have it, and you shall receive it. Now, I know this is drastic, but brother, everybody else is trying to start a revolution. Why can't we start one? What we need is a heavenly reformation and resolution and regeneration that will change people's heart. We're trying to change the world starting on the outside. You've got to change them on the inside and then on the outside. Work out your salvation, that's it. Work it out, but God's got to work it in before you can work it out. God is willing, God is able, and then this is one we about left out. God is just. Oh, listen, brother. This old sick, sin-cursed, degraded, dilapidated world has just about reached the conclusion that God is not just anymore. I mean, he's a lenient old granddaddy, and he's going to smile benignantly at our sins and imperfections. And after all, you know, human nature is just naturally weak, and God is not going to hold us accountable. That's what you think, brother. There's never been a nation's sin like America that ever existed long. There's never been a nation that voted in liquor traffic that ever lived long after that. There's never been a nation that was filled with homosexuality and broken homes and shattered lives and wasted children, but what she went down soon after her home went down. There's never been a nation as wicked as America that lasted very long as a nation after that. You just mark it down, dear friends. I believe that we're in the early stages of real pre-tribulation judgment. And it's all because of sin and worldliness. And we've condoned it and endorsed it from our church pulpits too much. God's still just. But I'm glad I can say in the fifth place, God is merciful. To me, that's one of the tenderest terms. God is merciful. David, after he'd sinned, oh, how he'd sinned. But he said, have mercy on me, oh God. Have mercy, have mercy. I'll tell you, God's people need to pray that prayer. Have mercy upon me. You know, I got a special blessing out of reading about Paul. You know, they said that Onesimus was sick. And he said he was sick, but the Lord had mercy on him. You know what? If we could see that the healing of our body is a merciful thing for the Lord. Think about a little child here so sick, suffering, just suffering. God looks with tender mercy on the little child, and it delights his great heart to heal. I believe that. God is merciful. God wants to be merciful, even to a sinner that sinned against God and hated God. God wants to be merciful and will be. Number six, God is good. He's always been like that. Oh, I remember I got the call in Waco about that from my mother. And she said, Lester, we've had real trouble in our community. And I said, what is it? She said, little Sadie Mae Gable has just been run over by her brother, Buster. And Myrtle, almost my second mother, lived next door up the road to us. Myrtle has requested that you come and preach the funeral for little Sadie Mae, my mother's namesake. Oh, it scared me. And I said, Mother, I don't believe that I can. I've never preached a funeral, and you know how hard that would be. And she said, Son, but you'll try, won't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. I got in that old car and took off for Dawson. And I tell you, if the Lord ever did put some grace and grit and strength in a little old scared boy's heart, I stood there, and this is the statement I made at the first funeral I ever preached, and it's still so today. And I knew it was so even by faith. I couldn't understand, but I said, as that beautiful little girl just as beautiful as any little girl I've ever seen in my life, just a few years old, lay there in the little casket. And I looked over toward Miss Gable as her heart was broken, and a grieving family, my mother, sat there by her side, greatest comforter I've ever known, except the Holy Spirit, was my mother. She was everybody's mother in our community. No baby could ever get born without my mother being there. She was the one that always was called. I can hear the old phone ringing now, four rings on 187. Harry, go get the phone while I get dressed. And she knew anybody and everybody that was due, and she'd be ready in a few moments. Whether it was an old mule she rode, or an old horse, or an old tea model, she'd always be there and stay as long as they had to have her. An old preacher said she was a great mother. God taught her how to be a mother, and I believe that. But I made this statement. I said, God is too good to do wrong, and he's too wise to make a mistake. This did not slip up on the Lord. He knew it was coming all the time. You know, I'm glad that 35 years later, I can still say God is too good to do wrong, and he's too wise. I've never caught my Heavenly Father or my older brother Jesus doing wrong. Never have. I'll never accuse them of even doing anything but what's altogether right. God is good. Number seven, God is for me. That's what the Bible said. Job said, God is for me. The psalmist said, God is for me. Now you think about that. Suppose everybody else is against you. What can they do? Paul said, if God be for us, who then can be against us? And I could say like the little boy, if God is for me, you better not be against me. And I certainly don't brag, or I wouldn't be antagonistic when I say that, but simply saying, preachers, listen, you don't need but just one person for you, and that's God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll bring it to pass. Commit thy way, the Lord trust all in. He'll bring it to pass. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Our dependence must be on him, not on man. And we fail many times because we put our confidence in the flesh. And so, God is for me. Number eight, God is love. Isn't that what the world's dying for? I remember when that old preacher came to see us one time, and he walked every day visiting. That's all he did. He just knocked on doors every day. He'd start at 8 in the morning, go to 5 in the afternoon. He'd knock on doors, they'd run him off, and some would let him in. And he walked down the street singing, and he sang that night in our church in Corpus Christi, Texas, this old world is dying for just a little bit of love. And I believe that's right. Oh, listen. I just had a thought. I was going over to Culloden with my children and grandchildren, Elizabeth Ann and Clinton, and we were flying along. And you know, the Lord's given us a six-place plane, which is a lot more room and carries, actually, it'll carry one ton. That's not supposed to carry about 1,800, but it will carry a ton. And it's just the most amazing thing to carry such weight. I carry $500 worth of luggage and people and all so forth, I mean across the country to Culloden or to Iowa or Missouri somewhere and Kansas City. But anyhow, we were flying along, and I think I mentioned this one time, but little Susanna's our little granddaughter, the oldest granddaughter, her little brother's oldest grandson, among the five grandchildren. And so she was just climbing all over the plane. She'd come and it was, granddaddy, you know what, granddaddy, you know what, granddaddy. And I heard that, I'm telling you, it sounded like one of these records that gets hung. Granddaddy, you know what? What is this, granddaddy? What? And just asking, you know. And about the time we got to Culloden, Georgia, here she came again. And she came through that seat and up to the front. And she said, granddaddy? I said, yes. What is it this time? And I mean, you know, we'd been on a long haul and had them fishing two nights down there, and everything was quiet, and the automatic pilot was on, and we was in, leveled off, and I thought, well, I'd just take, granddaddy! And I thought, well, now, what in, you know, will she never run down? Sweet for a while, but I mean, somehow, you know, You, just too much sugar is too much sugar. And so she sensed, Brother O.W., she sensed, you know, that I was, And she didn't say one other word. She just eased over in my lap and put those little chubby arms around my neck and pressed her little lips to my right cheek. What could I say? Huh? Oh, listen. What she couldn't do with her little tongue, she did with her lips of love. And I mean, all my chafing and my fretting was to an end. And it seemed that she squared everything up real quick, just with a little loving. That's all. That's all. Ah, oh, hear me today. Dear friend, there's no substitute for the fact that God is love. The only love I've ever known in my life. I don't have time to preach on what people have substituted for love. I'm so sick and so nauseated with people who'd say, I don't love my husband anymore. I don't love my wife anymore. I don't love the Lord anymore. I don't love the Bible anymore. I don't love to worship anymore. Something went wrong, dear friend. Did you ever have real love? I know, dear friends, we've got a lot of people. A man died after he'd married 11 different wives and spent $10 million on these wives. But you'd have a hard time making me believe he had any love for any of them. And you'd have a harder time making me believe that they had any love for him. Boy, you talk about fading in popularity. If he'd lost his $10 million, he'd have had a hard time of marrying any of them. But the old stupid outfit didn't have any better sense because he was blinded by the flesh, the devil, and the world. Now, I want you to know one thing. If I've got to buy your love, I don't want it. If I've got to buy your friendship, I can do without it. Love suffereth long and is kind, and God is love. And the Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And dear friends, love wears well. And love never gets threadbare. You can just put it down. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Last of all, and this is not the least of all, God is permanent. I like that. I tell you, the longer I live, the more I realize nothing down here is permanent. You can build a house and the termites will get it after a while. And you can buy a farm and the thing will wire out. And you can buy a machine and it'll wire out. And you can just, anything you do down here is very temporary. These clothes I have on are just for a while. These shoes I walk in and place my feet in are just for a while. But thank God I've got a Heavenly Father that's permanent.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, Faith Always Works. Now, if you'd like to receive this on a cassette or a CD, ask for offer number RO3288. 3288, Faith Always Works is the title of the message. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station when writing. Also, to help with shipping and handling, we ask for $8 for the cassette, $10 for the CD. Now, if you'd like to order by credit card, you can call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. During the month of September, we are offering a biography of Brother Roloff written by Marie Roloff and Bobby Glenn. The offer number is RO119, and the title of the book is Lester Roloff in Life and in Death. Also, a double CD called Singing from the Heart, offer number 2050. We've had many requests asking for the theme song of the Family Altar program, and that song is Stranger by the Sea, and you'll find that on this particular CD. When requesting this offer with Brother Roloff singing many songs on the double CD, and also the book on his life, ask for
the September offer and include $25, which covers the CD and the book. To order by credit card, dial 1-800-772-7507 or write the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping you'll have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.